I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the best of the WIP Midday Show with Hugh Douglas and Joe Giglio.
And we'll go dancing in the streets. Cause we're the Phillies, you know we can't be beat. So come on, baby, won't you get on down? Veteran Stadium is the hippest place in town.
The fever is here. Welcome on in. It is opening day. It is the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. Kyle Quinn behind the glass. So much to get to on opening day in Major League Baseball for the Phillies. The Flyers have fired their coach as they try to steal some headlines. Gone is John Tortorella. Did someone at WIP get him fired? We'll dive into that later in the show. And WIP now live on YouTube. Subscribe to Sports Radio 94 WIP. Be sure to turn on notifications so you never miss a show. Good morning, Hugh Douglas.
Good morning, Joe. Good morning, Philadelphia. Hey, you know what? I was just thinking about, songs are better with the cuss words in them. You know, like the songs that have the cuss words?
Yeah.
You ever heard like the edited version? I was listening to some music this morning, and I was listening to the edited version.
And when they
didn't use the cuss words, I was like, I don't want to hear this. I like to hear the cuss words.
Are you advocating for us to play cuss words on the air?
Because
we can't do that here.
No, what I'm saying is, I was just like, am I the only one?
No, it's
that
better.
If you're listening to a song that has some colorful language in it, it's just, I like it with the colorful language. I don't like the bleep out.
It depends how they edit it, because if they just replace it with another word, it can still flow fine. Mm. But if they do like the... like
the pause.
Stops.
Yeah. I don't like that.
I'm with you on that. All right, good morning, everyone. 215-592-9494. Yes, on a day where we celebrate a brand new season, the Flyers did move on from their coach. So we'll get into that in a little bit. John Tortorella out, not surprised after yesterday, as the Flyers head coach. But Hugh, we got a huge baseball show, a huge show today. 1 hour from now, Ryan Howard will join
the big
us.
Piece.
Yes, the big piece. At 12 o'clock, Jack Fritz. One half of the High Hopes podcast, and of course on the afternoon show. He'll be with us at 12. He's got a lot of bold predictions on the Phillies. And we'll get to the John Tortorella story as well. Ashland Sullivan will tell us the latest there around the Flyers. Devin Caney, who's down covering the Phillies in Washington, D.C., she will join us in the 1 o'clock hour as we get ready. Hugh, we've arrived. It's been, I would call it a kind of a bizarre offseason for the Phillies, because we thought, and I think a lot of people thought, Hugh, there'd be a lot of changes. And there wasn't, right? The Phillies made some tweaks here. They brought a couple pieces in here.
Mm-mm.
But it's basically the same team that won a lot of games last year, won the NL East, but then went out in a very, very quick way in the postseason last year, the New York Mets. So you know what we got to do today, Hugh, is we start a new season, the beginning of 162. Hugh, we got to get on the record here. Win total. And how far they're going to go. Like the gut feeling on opening day. We all have one. You wake up today, you're excited for baseball, but you also have a feeling on the team. Hugh Douglas, start us off. 215-592-9494 for everyone. What's your feeling on this? Gut feeling wins, and is this team going to win the East again? What do you got?
I'm an optimist, but I'm also a realist to a certain extent.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I think that the Phillies will win 92 games.
92?
That's the number.
All right.
92, because I know I said the other day, I said 90.
Yeah, 92 wins would be over their Vegas win total,
well,
so that's
cause,
good.
Because you're stuck in the past a little bit, and I respect that.
Excuse
because
me.
you're going off of
I'm here
what
now.
Happened last year. No, because when we were talking about it, you said, well, you know, that's not going to win the division.
I think less than that would be challenging to win the division. But,
yeah.
I want to hear what you think.
No, but here's the thing. I think that every year stands on its own merit. You know, just like when we talk about the NFL season and how scoring was down last year. But it didn't matter. You know, you still got to crown a Super Bowl champion, which was the Philadelphia Eagles and all that other good stuff. So 92 wins. Do they win the division? That was one that I kind of wrestled with a little bit. I don't think so. I think they finished second in the division. But here's another thing that I wrestled with. Second to whom? Mets or the Braves? Mm. I don't know. Because I kind of feel like the Braves and the injuries that they've had last year, it's going to take them a while to get going, you know, just to plug and play guys. I know they have the best roster, and people are talking about they're healthy now and everything, and they were picked to win the division last year. I think it's going to be some time for them to get going. It's going to take some time for them to get going. So I think I would have to probably concede that to the Mets for what they did last year. So I would go with the Mets with that. With even them, I'll say with Juan Soto being there, it's probably going to take a time, some little time for them to gel and everything. And their bullpen is not that great.
So you think the division is going to be, it's going to come down a little bit. So that sounds like what you think. Like it's not going to quite be, you need 95, 96 wins to win.
I don't think so. I don't think so. So I think the Phils will be right there, man. I just can't, for the purposes of this conversation that we're having today, I can't concede them winning the division.
All right, 215-592-9494. You and I are in a similar place. You're a little bit higher than I am. I have the Phillies at 89 wins this season. I think they're coming down from where they were last year, but I think some of it's strategic. They're going to rest guys more. They're an older team. And I think 89 is going to make the playoffs. I have the Phillies in a wild card spot where they were the last 2 years before last year, right? 2022, 2023, wild card team made the playoffs, and they made runs those years. So maybe the wild card is the path from 89 wins to wild card. I'm with you, Hugh. I think the Mets are going to win the division, and I think the Braves are going to finish second. I think all three are going to make the playoffs. I did say the other day that it's going to be harder to make the playoffs because there's a lot of good teams in the NL. But as I sit here on opening day, I look at the Phillies team, and they do, like, they better make the playoffs, and I do think they're going to.
Hugh, yeah, I think they're going to.
I think they'll find a way by the end to get in. This year could be more like 2022, 2023, where they have to rally at the end, like they're better in the second half. And actually, I think you said this the other day, maybe that's better for them. Maybe it's better if they start off okay and they play their best baseball July, August, September, rather than, you know, last year we were excited because they were the best team in baseball.
Yeah, they got off to
all
a quick start.
April, May, and then after the series in London, they weren't the same team anymore.
Yeah, and that's the thing about being the same team that you were going into this season that you were last season is that you just tweak a few things. You tweak a few things, Joe. You get out there and you try to figure out a path to stay a little bit more consistent and not get off to that you know, fast start. Kind of stay with the pack a little bit and then start to make your move as we progress through the season.
Here's what I'm most excited about. The Phillies have some truly great players. And I think we really have to, like, just appreciate that they're here. Like, Zach Wheeler gets to start again today, Hugh, on opening day.
It's cold, dude.
It's cold?
Yeah.
I mean, it's cold this morning. It won't be cold by this afternoon. It's 60.
I mean, but I woke up this morning.
It was 60
funny.
In D.C.
I woke up this morning excited about opening day. Woke up a little early, and I'm like, wow, we got baseball today. We finally get something to talk about, a game or whatever. And I was walked outside, and I'm like, man, it's brick.
Yeah, it was 34 this morning. It was 30.
Brick.
Well, it's always interesting how the baseball season starts and ends. It starts and ends in the cold, right? Like March, October, November, but then the whole summer, it is warm. Look, I'm excited for Zach Wheeler to continue pitching like a Hall of Famer, which he has since he got to the Phillies. I'm excited to watch Bryce Harper another year, now midway through the contract with the Philadelphia Phillies. I'm excited to watch Schwarber again. I mean, Kyle Schwarber has been an incredible member of the Phillies. Home runs every year. I think he's going to hit a ton of them again this year in his walk year. And I'm excited to see if this team can finally get over the hump. 215-592-9494. All right, so before we go to the phone lines here, let's hear from some people around the Phillies. On this team, Nick Castellanos, he believes the team's actually better than it was last year. Let's hear Nick earlier in spring training.
We're in the AL Central with Kepler and then face Lizardo and Romano.
Yeah.
What did you make of the offseason additions as a whole?
Good. Good offseason additions. Romano, obviously, when he's pitched well, he's given all of us trouble. Lizardo, the same thing. And Kep, I mean, he's a veteran player that has done it time and time again. So just, I think he's another person that is grateful for the opportunity to have a chance to win. So, you know, you mix those things together, I think the Phillies got better.
Did the Phillies get better, Hugh Douglas? I don't think they did.
I mean, that's an interesting question.
Yeah, I think they look the same to me.
On the outside looking in, they stayed the same.
Mm-hmm.
You listen to the way that the players were talking this season. They didn't seem too optimistic. I think that's what people are gravitating towards, the fact that nobody really, you know, made those proclamations that they made last year. I would say they're the same.
Yeah, I think they're different, right? I think they're weaker in the bullpen, but stronger in the rotation because Lizardo is an upgrade of what they had in the back of the rotation last year. Painter could arrive this year, but I think it ultimately nets out to a similar kind of team. Kevin Long, though, obviously bullish on his offense and what they could be. Here's the Phillies hitting coach on his offense.
I expect us to be, you know, a top five offense in all baseball, which we were last year and the year before. We just have to be consistent, and we have to show up every single game, and we we have to have the attitude that, you know, we got to go out and get a championship. Nothing else is acceptable, and if we don't put together the at-bats that we're capable of, then we'll find ourselves going home, and that's not going to work.
You know, I'm glad the way he framed that. You know, he starts talking about, you know, their rankings, and that's great. I mean, top five, top six, top seven, whatever. That's a number. But I like that he talked about the mentality and the attitude. Hugh, that's what they need to have different this year. They need to be locked in, because it's with the Phillies, it's not about do they have enough talent. I think if you look at just which teams have enough talent to win the World Series, they're clearly one of the, I don't know, 7 to 10 teams that have enough talent to win the World Series.
Yeah.
Hugh, it's about attitude, and it's about locking in and not having bad at-bats.
Yeah, that's what I'm kind of stuck on. When you talk about running it back the way that you did and not changing a whole lot, it has to be an attitude adjustment. That's what we're talking about right here, Joe. It's not about, you know, your athletic ability or anything like that. That's why I feel that Trey Turner is going to have a bounce back year, because it's not like he's fallen off as far as his athleticism is concerned. He should have a bounce back year.
He better, and he's going to hit leadoff likely today. When the lineup comes out, we will bring it to you. 215-592-9494. Get on the record here. Phillies predictions as the season starts. Your win total, do they win the division? All right, so I'm at 89 and a wild card. Hugh's at 92.
90 deuce.
And a wild card. Kyle Quinn, get on the record. It is opening day. What a great day today is. It's opening day.
Happy opening day.
Happy opening day.
I'm so excited that baseball back. I don't care that it's cold.
It's cold,
I'm going to be in the comfort of my living room watching this game. And I mean, baseball. We're just going to have baseball like
every day. It's the best.
It's amazing.
Like a snow game, too, anyway. We're like real early in the season. We might get one to go to Colorado. It might be snowing.
Well, they're coming. When do we go there?
Well, no.
Well, they're coming here next week.
No. They're coming here. Okay.
Stop trying to bring me down, Hugh.
Oh, no, I'm just saying, because I didn't see that it was it here, I just saw it.
Maybe if you get a coat, it won't be that cold. Like, I mean, it was cold today, but I put my coat on and I was good.
I got a coat. I just didn't feel like wearing it.
So, you know, the thing about me is I'm an eternal optimist.
Mm-hmm. Wait a minute. Hold on.
Especially, always see things through the positive lens.
Especially on days like today where, like, I have a renewed sense of optimism. Mm-hmm. I don't think I've been. Yeah, well.
As opposed to yesterday and Monday?
Well, I think we have Phillies realists on the show.
Well, but like,
and then Phillies optimists.
I don't even think I've been, like, very negative about that. I mean, look, Trey Turner, I think, is what he's going to be.
Yeah.
But that's still a pretty good player, right?
Sure.
Like, I'm not one of the people who are saying, like, the Phillies are going to miss the playoffs, all this stuff. Like, while they're not a lock, I still think they will. They are one of the best teams in baseball. They're one of the top teams in the NL. I believe you can make the argument that we have the best pitching staff in baseball, if you want to, you know, us or the Dodgers, probably. But, and then we have, like, I agree with what Kevin Long said. We do probably have, like, a top five lineup. You just look up and down the team. Like, this is a really, really good baseball team. Not 100% certain that they're going to win the division, but I do have them winning 90 games this year. I don't think I'd put my money down on them winning the division. I think the Braves are going to be really good. I actually have the Mets missing the playoffs this season.
Well, we have discussed in this show that third place in the East could miss the playoffs.
So I do have the Phils making the playoffs as a wild card. I like them to get hot by the end of the year. I think they know what's at stake here. They know that it's time for them to step up.
It's time.
I'm not going World Series, though.
I don't think
there's going to be any shame in what I predict is going to happen. They go down in the NLCS to the Dodgers.
That is shameful.
No, it's not.
You don't think so?
No, the Dodgers are like one of the best teams I've ever seen.
Losing the Diamondbacks up 3-2, that was shameful.
This is what I'm talking about right here.
What?
Shameful?
Why are we moving the line?
There's no
Hold on. But, I mean, Kyle has them going further than I do. I think they could go out the first round.
You don't have them going to the World Series?
I do not. Do you?
Yes.
I'm saying they're improving on last season.
Why do you start there? You have them in the World Series? Tell everyone.
Well, I mean, I thought y'all kind of knew. If it's me, you know how I roll.
Well, that's true.
I'm trying to get
blind faith Douglas. I'm trying not to go that far.
Who was the guy that sat here on this station and told y'all that the Eagles are going to the Super Bowl?
You told us Bryce Huff was going to break the NFL sack record.
Well, okay, that one didn't count. Was because I saw a little bit of myself in Bryce Huff. I saw some parallels.
I think this version of you is better than Bryce Huff, but that's insulting
to you.
Yeah, I mean, you were a really good player.
No, coming from a small school, you know, I gravitate towards the small school. I pull for the little guy, man. I do all the time.
All right, so you have him in the World Series.
Yeah, I mean, yes,
all
I do.
All right.
Because you have to get it done, man. I feel bullish on this. You don't go through the season that they've had and, you know, you go to playoff 3 years in a row and then take a huge step back. No.
Well,
they got
like
to push through. They got to break through this year.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you hit this, that'd be two for two. I mean, if you go Eagles Super Bowl,
really
Phillies World Series.
Y'all really ain't going to be able to tell me nothing. The only sad part about that is we don't go nowhere.
You're going to be unbearable.
What do you mean we don't go nowhere?
Well, are we going to go to the city against the team?
Well, what if they play like the Orioles or something? Something close. We could go down to those.
We can go there.
They'd be down to go to Fenway.
Phillies, Red Sox, that'd be an awesome World Series. All right, 215-592. You don't want to go to Boston?
No.
I go. 215-592-9494.
That's a good call by you.
I'm cool on Boston. Remember we went to Boston? I'm cool on Boston.
Yeah, we did do that. All right, your predictions. All right, let's make sure everyone knows where we're at here. On the record opening day, I'm at 89, first round exit. Kyle is at 90, NLCS. Hugh, you're at 92, and World Series.
World Series.
92 in World Series. All right, so we're all similar in terms of the win total, and it really is about how far you have them going in the postseason.
They're
going to
get hot at the end.
Well, they better. 215. They've done that like two of the last 3 years. They did get hot, right? They got hot in 22. They got hot in 23. Last year was the opposite. Where do you come down? 215-592-9494. Chris in Middletown, our leadoff hitter, like I guess our Trey Turner on Sports Radio 94 WIP. What's up, Chris?
Happy opening day, man.
Happy opening day, Chris. What a great day.
I just got to get into some things. But first, plant-based Joe. Mm-hmm. Plant Joe. Just like Herb says, keep your mouth down and shut.
Okay.
Just open your ears.
Keep your mouth down and shut.
I mean, you make it sound like I'm off on my own planet. Everyone else has 92 and 90. I've got 89. I mean, what do you want me to say?
Now put your ears on.
Okay.
This team is ready to make an historic run. All right. A healthy Stott is going to have a career year as an all-star and gold glover.
Ooh, I like that.
Trey will play solid shortstop and offensively prove all of his doubters wrong. Bohm will continue to advance defensively like he has every year and will clear 100 RBIs for the first time in his career. Cassianos is rock solid. The combination of Marsh and Rojas, outside chance of Crawford later in the year, will keep us defensively elite in center field. Kepler is going to be the biggest surprise with 20-25 bombs this year. This will all be led by the greatest red light player of his era, that is MV3 Bryce Harper. Our pitching is loaded with talent. Wheeler's going to get his Cy Young this year. Nola. Sanchez is going to finish top five Cy Young. Lazardo and Ranger are the best 4-5 pitchers in Major League Baseball. Then later in the year, you're going to see the arrival of the best young pitcher in the game, Andrew Painter. The bullpen is stacked. Alvarado, Romano, Kirkling, and Strom. Kirk. You know what?
He, you got music, Kyle.
I was waiting for a better cue than that. But roaring start.
Yep.
Wait a minute.
You know what? To all you non-believers, open your eyes and get ready to see great. This team, like this city, is made up of fighters. We don't back down when things get tough. We don't retreat in the face of adversity. We win. This is our year. This is our destiny. 2025 will go down in history and be known as the year of Philadelphia. The Eagles struck gold first, and the Phillies will do their part starting this Red October. Philadelphia! The bell is about to ring! Stand to your feet! Prepare for the fight! Cover yourself in Philadelphia Red! The whole country is telling you to cower in fear and kneel at the feet of the Dodgers. They don't know us. They don't get us. That's not what we're about. We will not bend a knee, and we will not back back away from the fight. We are ready to take a bite out of it and swallow it whole.
It's a lot.
Mr. Middleton will get his bleeping trophy back. We are going to wash over the whole country. No, wait. We are going to wash over the entire world in Philadelphia, Philly, red. Let's go! P-H-I-L-L-I-T-S!
We got the fuel.
World Series Champions!
I gotta say, Chris nailed it. For an opening day, I wasn't sure we were getting there, because the start was a little choppy.
It was.
A little auspicious.
Yeah, it was ominous, I would say.
Since we're on TV, it was a big word. It's not like auspicious.
Yes, live on YouTube. Is YouTube
auspicious?
Is YouTube big words we need to use for YouTube?
No, I'm saying you said inauspicious.
Yeah. Awesome.
I'm a little nervous though, man.
You nervous about YouTube?
Yeah.
I mean, they've been taking videos since for
an actor.
I mean, yeah. I'm just saying, it's been a while.
You said you're an A-list actor.
It's been a while since I've been in front of the camera, man. And these lights are bright in my forehead. Like I'm looking at my forehead shining like new money. Hey, Tuck, we might need to turn these lights down, man. These lights kind of bright.
Hold on a second. You think you can act, and you're nervous about a little YouTube thing?
I'm not gonna lie though. I probably shouldn't have wore the dark shirt.
I thought you were wearing a suit today.
All you see is like my gray and teeth. That's like when I look up at the screen. That's all I'm seeing.
Your head is pretty shiny.
You know what I'm just saying? You see a shiny ball.
Did you put on an extra layer of Vaseline?
I'm trying to see. When I do the hair, like you can't see you can see it's growing. Like I got a yeah, it's growing.
Yeah,
it's
growing. This is what the people clicked in for. Just to
I'm just saying. I shouldn't
see the bald spot.
I'm like, dang, I'm gonna wear black today.
Yeah. Well, I thought you were wearing you said you were wearing a suit.
I thought about it.
I mean, that's the way to make an impression.
No, listen. I got these pants from Shine yesterday, right?
Your new pants.
Sheen.
Yeah, but no one could see them.
Maybe I got to stand up, show them my new pants. See, I bought these camel pants. See my
yeah,
pants.
This isn't good for anybody.
See that? Y'all see me on the camera? Y'all need to put. See, they got my pants. See, I got my pants on. Yeah, I got these pants.
This is going to be a mess.
So I wanted to wear my pants.
Yeah.
So I didn't have a suit.
Okay.
So I just wore the pants.
I mean, as long as you're comfortable. All right, 215-592-9494. It is opening day. Get on the record with your Phillies predictions, your calls. Win total, how far do they go? All right, so around the horn, 89, 90, 92. Out in the first round, out in the NLCS, and into the World Series. Wait, you got them winning the whole thing or just going? Winning the whole thing, says Hugh Douglas.
You know me, I push all in.
I just want to make sure. All right. Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gillo, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. All right, we'll get back to all your phone calls here in just a minute as we discuss this Phillies team. Are they a lock to make the playoffs 2 days from opening day? Zach Wheeler on the mound, Hugh, Thursday against the Nationals.
Zach.
You know, we were talking earlier about, you know, things I'm sure of with this team. Wheeler, I'm sure of, right? There's a few things that Wheels is awesome. He's one of the best pitchers in all of baseball. Maybe this theory gets that Cy Young. He'll be on the mound Thursday against the Washington Nationals. So we'll get back to all your phone calls. Is this team a lock to make the playoffs? And, of course, your guesses for Hugh's Clues, a $100 gift card
100.
To Sunoco. But before we do that, Hugh, I need to get something off my chest because I've heard something a lot the last 2 or 3 weeks on this station, and it's driving me really crazy.
What you been hearing?
Well, I keep hearing some variation of, we'll see in October. No. We have 162 games. And I feel like the Phillies need us to help keep them accountable through that 162-game season. So, Hugh, I have written out a pledge. I have a pledge as a fan.
You wrote out a pledge?
Look, it's in my notes. Look, I got a pledge right there.
You wrote it on your phone.
Oh, I wrote it,
That's a lot.
It's a pledge. I have a pledge.
That's a lot.
And I want everyone to take the pledge with me. I know before I even say this, Kyle's in on this. I know this. I need you and everybody else to take the Phillies accountability pledge.
I need to hear it first.
Okay.
I want to hear what you're about to say.
Well, here it is. We have the Phillies accountability pledge, but thank you. This makes it feel more official.
What is this music? why are you looking at me like that? Okay, fine. I didn't know.
An American, Hugh?
No, I didn't know how it started. Kyle looked at me like he was like, idiot. I didn't know it started that way. I didn't know.
Are you ready?
Yes, I'm listening.
All right. As a Phillies fan, I pledge to keep the team accountable throughout the regular season and not just wait for October. I pledge to not ignore slumps, poor base running, lackadaisical play, or questionable managing. The season is 162 games long, and the team needs each of us to push them through from the good to the not good. Do not take the Phillies off the hook. Don't make them the Sixers. This team was built to win a World Series. That path starts on Thursday and not just in October. From this day forward, there's no wake me up in October when it comes to the 2025 Phillies. There's what you have done yesterday, what you will do today, and what you need to do tomorrow.
Hugh Douglas.
The accountability pledge. Are you willing to take it?
I would have took it if you had said it with a little bit more passion. You got to do it again. But you have to.
Again?
I need to feel it, Joe. I didn't feel it. I give you. We got a little time.
Well, did you do it again?
He got to do it more passion. I need to feel it. But you gonna make him do it right now? Do it with some passion. I need to feel it.
As a Phillies fan.
We're trying to get some Tubi movies going. Okay, my bad. I'm sorry. Go. Got it.
As a Phillies fan, I pledge to keep the team accountable throughout the regular season and not just wait for October. I pledge to not ignore slumps, poor base running, and lackadaisical play, or questionable managing. The season is 162 games long, and the team needs each of us to push them through from the good to the not good. Do not take the Phillies off the hook. Sixers.
Right there.
This team was built to win a World Series.
Right there.
That path starts on Thursday, not just in October. From this day forward, there's no wake me up in October when it comes to the 2025 Phillies. There's what have you done yesterday, what you will do today, and what I need you to do tomorrow. Hugh Douglas, are you taking the pledge?
That was better. I ain't there yet.
Oh. Kyle?
Of course.
Thank you.
I mean, that's
Thank
the easiest you. Pledge I'll Thank ever you. Take.
This is so easy. Keep the Phillies accountable.
Don't let the Phillies off the hook.
Do
Why
nothing,
did I ever do
Do
that?
Nothing Douglas I over here. I can hear it already. Next week, it's early if they're 1-3. That's because you didn't take the pledge.
I'm kidding. That was great, man. I'll take the pledge. I'll take the pledge. That's just the level of disappointment you had.
That hurt when you said no.
Yeah.
I am in a playful mood today for some reason. I'm sorry.
No, you gave that awesome first clue that's got everyone out there jumping up. That. All right. I need you to take the pledge. 215-592-9494. I don't know how every show is going to handle this at WIP. I have a feeling how the afternoon show will handle the Phillies this year. But I don't want to hear any of wake me up in October. That's Sixers baloney. That's the baloney we did with the Sixers for 5 years.
No, if you squint really hard.
Yeah, that's Sixers baloney. No, we keep the Phillies accountable. And I think we need to this year because the NL is really tough, and if they mess around for 2 months, we're going to be in a dogfight just to make the playoffs. Where do you come down? Will you take the accountability pledge with the Phillies? And, of course, are the Phillies a lock to make the playoffs? And your guesses on Hugh's Clues. Black Gritty is up on WIP. What's up, Black Gritty?
Pledge? Who are you pledge? I can't trust you. You're the last person to pledge.
I have a pledge, Black Gritty. I pledge. You can always find me to criticize a team when they need to be. I mean, I don't skimp on that.
The best team I've ever seen in the history of baseball, and I've been alive since 1812. I remember what you did last season. And Hugh, I'm writing my congressman, Hugh. I'm tired of these Hughes Clues. I can't do it no more. I want a congressional hearing on these Hughes Clues. And I am
right.
I never wrote my congressman in my life. I witnessed lots of
That's
going on
awesome
in the world.
Clue,
but now I'm about to shut it down. We're going to have an investigation.
That was a great clue.
It's something I want to even know. Shut up. Can we just enjoy baseball? Like, I mean, my goodness gracious. You know what's going to happen?
No, this is not accountability. What do you mean? This is the Sixers stuff.
You can't count to three. You keep bringing up the word accountability. Hush your face for 2 seconds, okay? Mr. 1, 2, 3 can't count.
Now, you know what? Shut up.
Exactly. I know those guys. Look, the problem is, you talk about, do they all get old? No, they all had a bad luck of health. They didn't all just get old at one time. Trey Turner was on fire, then he got injured. My catcher isn't old, he got injured. I mean, he is old, but he also got injured. People got injuries. What I'm asking for is health and a good summer. That's all I want. I don't need to be the best team in baseball for the first 2 months. Matter of fact, I would appreciate for them to muddle through the season and stay healthy. I want Topper to give dudes some days off. I don't care what the lineup is if my team's healthy. If my team's not healthy, then the lineup don't matter anyway. So get me through this season, the max health possible, get hot late, and go on a run. And they can't be the Sixers because the Sixers never got out of the second round. At least this team gave me the World Series, NLCS. Like, there's different levels to it. So bring up the Sixers is just asinine, and your accountability, Captain 123, you sound like the count. With your accountability, because I know that you're not the one to be doing it. You will jump out of a window as soon as they go hot for a month. Nuclear. You will be insane on this radio station. So just enjoy baseball.
No. Just enjoy crap. They got to play well every day. Enjoy nonsense. They stunk in the second half last year. Stunk. And no one wanted to keep them accountable.
A lot of people listen to the radio every day and don't think you do your job well every day, but they're still tuning in the next day.
Well, but they keep me accountable. They'll call and tell me, that's fine. I like that.
Well, that's true. That's true. They will call you because I'm keeping Hughes Clues accountable. Mm. Talking to my congressman today. I got a clue. I got to throw that one.
Yeah, what do you got?
I don't know. Pop-Tarts. I don't know what this fool is.
Pop-Tarts. Hugh, is that it?
That's a good guess.
It's not it, though.
That's a good guess.
Yeah, it's not it. I can see you eating a lot of Pop-Tarts. All right, Black Gritty. Love you, buddy.
I used to get the hell out of Pop-Tarts. The strawberry ones.
Frosting or no frosting?
Frosting, both. But then you started, I don't want to kill it for anybody that eats Pop-Tarts, but some of the ingredients.
They're not the healthiest thing. I don't think you're going to ruin it. If people are going to eat them, they want to eat them.
If you're younger, you can eat them because, you're young. But when you get older, you can't eat the Pop-Tarts.
Can I be fully honest about something Black Reddy said there?
Mm-hmm. What did he say?
I want to believe that he's right, that the Phillies are not the 76ers. That they made that deep postseason run, went to the World Series. Yep. How soon, if they go backwards again this year, are we just talking about that run was a fluke? Oh. And they kind of are more like the Sixers than we all want to believe.
Well, don't tell Elliot that, because then he'll jump back on that take that he had.
I'm just saying.
I know, I understand.
I don't want to believe that.
Well, the reason I brought up the Sixers, because the last, not forget this year, we know they stunk. But the last 3 or 4 years, nothing during the regular season mattered because we just said, well, we'll see what happens in the playoffs. I don't want that with the Phillies.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's good for the Phillies this year because I think they're going to have to really try and compete to make the playoffs. So I was thinking about this. We need to keep them accountable. In fact, one of the newest Phillies, listen to Jesus Luzardo. He was on with the afternoon show. He seemed like he's ready for us to keep him accountable, and we will.
You start game one in 2023. What can you kind of remember about walking into Citizens Bank Park that day?
Yeah, I mean, I remember my family was in town. We were walking around. I think I went to Reading Terminal Market, and you could just feel like the energy of the city was alive. And you could just feel, going to the ballpark. And then when I first stepped out to start warming up, you could just hear all the boos just coming from all over the place. And I loved it. I mean, I just, playing that villain role, being, getting booed, there's a reason why they're booing you. So I loved it. I had a great time. But obviously now I'm more excited to be on the home side for it.
Has anyone on the team talked to you about the fans? Because we can be great fans, and then also we have a history of being difficult if things aren't going our way. Have you had that conversation with anybody yet?
Yeah, I mean, everyone says it. The fans will let you know if you're doing well or you're doing bad.
Yeah.
They'll make sure to let you know. But at the end of the day, I respect it. I mean, I was a fan growing up. I still am a fan of the game and of multiple sports, and I feel the same way, So... for me, I like the Dolphins growing up, so I get frustrated when the Dolphins aren't doing well. And so I understand the fan side, and I respect it. If I'm not doing well, I deserve to get booed. So I don't take it to heart, and if anything, it motivates me to be better.
It sounds like Jesus Luzardo is taking the pledge, or at least wants us all to take the pledge. I like that.
Until it happens. But, I mean, hope you be prepared for it, because it can get a little vicious around these parts, bro.
Look, if they play great, then none of that is necessary.
You're right. If they play great. And to your point, Joe, if they regress to the point where they don't make it to the playoffs, that's not going
to
be good.
Well, I'm trying to avoid that. I feel like if we help keep them accountable, maybe it will help them not do that, and they'll play their best baseball.
I don't think that's going to happen, though. I really don't. I don't think that's going to happen. I think that for a lot of people, if you're being honest with yourself, it's because they haven't talked about it. That's what makes you nervous, because you need to be – you need affirmation. You need them to confirm it for you that's what's on their mind. I can tell you, when I was down there, I felt like the main thing was the main thing, to coin a Jalen Hurts phrase. Nothing has changed. It's just more of a focus, and I think it's more of a conscious effort to be locked in and be more being able to change when you have to change. and not being locked into one way of doing things. Because I think for a lot of guys, that was one of the things that they say, okay, well, you know, we didn't change the lineup, so we gotta be more malleable again.
Two days in a row.
Yeah, you gotta be more malleable to change things. And I think that's okay. The one way to do things is not always the right way or the wrong way. It's just one way of doing things. I think they're trying to figure out another way to get to their ultimate goal.
Yeah, and they need better results. I mean, the second half last year, they were a 500 team. Like, if that's just not good enough. They I'll just put it this way. If they play this season like they did in the second half, they will miss the playoffs. Like, that's why I don't consider them a lock. I need to see them play their best baseball. They have enough talent to certainly be a playoff team and maybe win the division again, but they got to go do it. Mike is in Swedesboro. What's up, Mike?
What's going on, buddy?
Hey, Mike. What's going on?
And what's up, Hugh? How you doing, bud?
Hey, Mike.
Now we're talking. Hey, Mike.
Doing well. I wouldn't say it's a lock. I would not say it's a lock, only because I think our rotation is probably the best part about everything. And it's funny because I'm trying to remember who you guys interviewed. Was it Boehm or Stott that said he had the hand injury with his swing?
Yeah, it was Stott. So Boehm also had a hand injury down the stretch. But we had Stott on last week in Clearwater, and he mentioned, yeah, he had the hyperextension of his elbow, and it really kind of impacted him all season.
Well, maybe I'm overthinking, but he asked him about where he wanted to hit in the lineup, and he said certain guys have a issue with it. Was he not talking about the people on his own team?
So I think he mentioned that certain guys, like, it matters more to them. I think he mentioned with us, he's now hit in every spot in the order since he got to the big leagues, 1 through 9, so he doesn't care at all where he hits. Yeah, I wasn't taking it as he was talking about anyone specifically.
I'll be honest with you.
But he may have, I mean, maybe he had someone in his mind as he said it. Yeah, he could have.
Yeah, that's the only thing, because I started thinking, I'm like, all right, do we need, like, you know, like BG or like, you know, Big Dom to go in that locker room and kind of like handle things? Because it seems like there's that's the only thing that makes me nervous about this offense, is that it seems like there's some tension. Like, you know, like I took that as him throwing shade at certain people, that, hey, like, he's talking about his own guys, not necessarily like teams he's played on before.
Well, he may have been. I mean, he knows them personally. I mean, he knows them well. I mean, maybe he knows some of them feel stronger than others about it, and that's something Topper's got to figure out. Mike, are you taking the pledge? Are you going to keep the Phillies accountable?
Oh, yeah, I want them to be accountable. Like I said, I mean, I hope that we're not the team that gets bounced out. I mean, you made a great point with, like, you know, 89 wins and not making the playoffs. I mean, that's kind of crazy. And the fact that our division is arguably it's funny because, I mean, for years everyone argued that the NFC East was – the worst division in football, and we arguably have the best division in baseball right now. You know, with like three of our teams being in the top five, as far as like the NL, besides the Dodgers, obviously. But yeah, I'm taking the pledge 100%, man. I want to hold them accountable. And I agree with you. Like, I think, you know, Topper should be, on the hot seat 100%. You know, cause at this point it's like we have the talent, and, With that $300 million payroll, we should be able to do something. So there's something. And for Bryce to say that there's in two different quotes that answered it differently, but included the coaching was an issue in both of those statements. There's something to say about that.
Yeah, it hit me when I saw that. Mike, give us a guess for Hugh's Clues. What do you got? A food Hugh ate when he was in his youth.
So I know he's from Ohio. I'm going to go with Buckeyes.
Buckeyes.
Never used to eat Buckeyes, man. Even though you could roast them because they're poisonous initially.
Good guess there, Mike.
But no, that's a good guess. But then you can roast them a certain way to get the poison out of them.
So just like cooking them, the heat will get the poison out?
I used to make Buckeye necklaces when I was younger. Used to get, because like where I lived at the park.
Yep.
Used to go get the Buckeyes and hollow them out and just put a string on them and wear like Buckeye necklaces.
Well, maybe when we get on YouTube, you could wear a Buckeye necklace.
Nah.
Nah, you sure?
Those days are gone.
Yeah. All right, let's go to Terrence in Springfield. What's up, Terrence?
What's
going on, man?
Terrence, what's up, buddy?
Man, I say they're not a lock. They're not a lock to make the playoffs. We have so many teams this year and now they're going to be good. Like I said yesterday, you're gonna have the Dodgers, the Mets, the Braves are gonna bounce back this year. You got the Milwaukee Brewers, you got the San Diego Padres. It's gonna be harder this year to do what they want to accomplish. And for the Phillies, is I'm taking the plunge with you, Joe, because, like, a lot of times, you know, we're on the Eagles right now because they're having a social offseason right now, and they just won a Super Bowl. The Sixers, they're always crap, and we own the Sixers. I feel like when the Phillies aren't reaching their potential, I feel like a lot of times we give them a pass. We're not as hard on them. And I love Bryce Harper. I love Harper. But a lot of times during these collapses, Harper is a part of these collapses in these big games also. I love Bryce. I love him to death. He's a great player. And I feel like we give Harper a pass because of the pandering. But, like, right now, you know, we all know, you know, he wanted to put the LeBron cap on, be the GM and all that stuff. And Brandon, he brought Turner over here. And Turner stunk. So I feel like sometimes let the GM do what the GM does and stay out the way, you know, because Turner was good. Yeah, he was good in Washington and all that. But he has been crap here. And if the Phillies want to get somewhere and they're going to go somewhere in the playoffs, Turner's going to have to show up, not just a couple games, not just in slumps. The whole season, Turner's going to have to show us something, or the season's going to go down the drain. That goes for JT. That goes for Schwarber. That goes for Bohm. That goes for Nick. Like, all the home runs waiting for the defensive stuff has to stop. That crap has to stop. We have to learn how to get on base, learn how to play small ball, learn how to win these games. And I know the pitching collapse also. I know the pitching, they fell apart last year too. But if we don't score no runs, guys, we don't win no games. That's just plain and simple. And to me, we have to hold these guys accountable because this year it's not going to be as easy as we think. It's not.
Terrence, it's not. Well said. And that's why the pledge is important. Like, I don't want to hear 3 weeks from now it's early. Nah, not in the NL this year. No. Like, every game matters here. Terrence, give us a guess here. Hughes Clues, a food he ate in his youth.
Joe, I'm sorry, Hugh. Is it a snack or is it kind of a food?
You can't. That's not how the game works.
Terrence, trying to get an extra
popcorn,
clue.
Popcorn.
That's a good guess, man. You know, I eat a lot of popcorn.
Terrence, good guess. I mean,
that's not the one, though. But I did eat a lot of popcorn. I ate a lot of popcorn.
Trying to sneak in another clue.
Were you? This could even be now, but then when you were a kid, were you? Do you like the butter at the movie theater on the popcorn?
I used to slather, but then I found out that it's not really butter.
Oh, it's not. No,
it's like a vegetable like oil. It's like
say
it's
slather.
Like, slather. And it's like a
slather Vaseline on me.
I want to say it's like a coconut kind of, not coconut, but it's something similar to it's not real butter.
No.
It's not real butter.
But there is something about the butter like, on the popcorn at the movie theater. It's just like, I'll do it at the movies. But if you told me at home, like, Joe, do you want me to pour this oily stuff on your popcorn? I'd say, nah. But at the movies,
you know what?
There's something about it.
I do that. Like, when I make popcorn, I have it. It's called Orville Redenbacher's. I forgot the name of it.
So you got like,
but
it's in a jar.
It's in a bottle.
Oh, and like in, okay. And you
and
pour
like
it on.
And I'll pour it on the popcorn and throw some salt, and it tastes just like butter. Mm. But it's supposed to be better than butter.
I just don't like popcorn.
At all? Are you a corn guy?
Sure.
Like corn on the cob?
I mean, okay.
But it doesn't sound like you're really a corn guy.
But like the popcorn's just annoying.
What do you mean it's annoying?
It's not good enough to be as big of a pain in the ass to eat as it is.
Well, why is it a pain in the ass to eat?
The kernels getting stuck in your teeth and all that.
Yeah, that happens.
Well, you get a one of the little water pick things.
You floss.
Yeah. Yeah, but like so, really, what they are is they're the kernels, and they just become like pockets of air.
Yeah,
with the kernel still in it.
Yeah,
that's not enjoyable.
So
I'd eat the hell out of popcorn.
It feels like a Hugh opinion that popcorn's too much.
It is.
Yeah, I mean that's your take on this. Popcorn is too much. Warren and Cherry Hill. What's up, Warren?
Morning, boys. Let me get some. Speaker, how's everybody here?
Warren, what's up, buddy?
I'm ready for this season. I'll start right off. Unless it's a major injury, they're a lock for the playoffs. I don't see it other than the Dodgers, their pitching staff's every bit as good as anybody in the league. The biggest problem I have, an easy way to start with accountability, I think it's the manager. The manager in Trey Turner. He's a player's manager, but sometimes I don't like his X and O's. I don't like how he puts the same lineup out there every day. They got to stand up. And I want to see Trey Turner, the second highest player on this team. Now I want to see him leading off. So now we know what we got for the next 6-7 years. You couldn't steal with Schwarber up there on first base to strike it out. I need Turner to do what he could do. That's as simple as that as far as those two guys.
Well, and if Turner plays like the player they paid him to be, Warren, then they'd be a lock. Yeah.
I want the stolen bases. I want him running. Let me ask you this, the funniest thing. Now, I'm glad to hear they're going to start out with him leading off. I've done this on the station, and nobody, I don't care what baseball writer says this. When Schwarber leads off, the guy had 100 RBIs either way, 101 and 100. So let me ask you something. He has about 500 bats a year. So if he's leading off 162 games, that's one-third of his at-bats that he has no chance for an RBI other than a solo shot.
Right, right.
He will add 30 ribbies. Schwarber might have a $130, $135 if he's not doing that. I've got to tell you, I think their ideal lineup is, I'm not worried the lefties, the righties. You put Turner leads off and you put Stott second. This is a kid who absolutely hit with two strikes. He can hit the ball in a direction. You can go first or third, and Turner can steal. He can be protected. You've got to have Harper third, if not Schwarber. Don't you think Schwarber's going to get a ton of fastballs if Harper's behind him?
Well, if Harper's behind him, sure. And Warren, in theory, it would work. I mean, in theory, the RBI total you're talking about with Schwarber, but Turner's got to get on base, right? It works if Turner gets on base, however they do the lineup will be more effective. Warren, give us a guess for Hughes Clues, a food he ate in his youth.
Every young kid likes mac and cheese. I'm going with mac and cheese.
That's a good guess. Mac and cheese.
Mac and cheese is a really good guess.
Yeah, but not it. Warren, we not appreciate it. I knew we needed this song today. You need this song on opening day.
Put me in, coach.
You ready to play?
I'm ready to play.
Well, the Phillies are ready, and we are too. It is opening day in Philadelphia, actually down in D.C. Phillies Nats, 4:05 today. Zach Wheeler on the mound. We'll get you the roster. The Phillies have finalized their opening day roster. We'll do that in a few minutes. But let's talk to someone, Hugh, that played in a lot of opening days and made a lot of Phillies rosters. You know his name. Ryan Howard, the big piece, joins us right now on the Midday Show. Ryan, how you doing?
Hey, happy opening day. Happy opening day, gentlemen. What's up? How's everybody doing?
What up, Blue? How you doing, man?
Man, can't call it. Just another day. I'm in your world.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm in your world, man. As a matter of fact, I know we're going to talk baseball. Mm-hmm. But congratulations. I heard you got the sandwich shop in the stadium.
Man, yes, sir. We got that Colby Southern Kids Chicken working over there, man. We're doing well. Excited for another season. I'm trying to get everything kicked off. We got the location out in Mount Holly, New Jersey. 1643 New Jersey, 38 West, going out there, go visit the store out there. So, yeah, just kicking it up and trying to get things rolling.
Well, it's a good spot. I know that area well. I used to drive through there when I lived in Jersey. Good spot, Ryan. We're excited for you. And yeah, the spot in the stadium is going to be a great
one.
Yeah,
that's a big move
right
there.
Yeah, of course it is.
Being the stadium and, you know, having the history that you have with the stadium, yeah. Pretty sure you're going to be in there making sandwiches at some point?
That'd be great.
You know what? You never know. It's a possibility. I might have to go back to old 15-year-old Ryan when I was in there flipping them burgers and whatnot, man, before. So, you
okay.
Never know.
Okay, yeah, that's a skill you never lose, though. Flipping burgers is a skill you never lose.
That's one you have for life. Ryan, we're excited to talk to you today. It's an awesome day. Opening day is always special. Before we get into the team this year, take us through your opening days. Your first one, did you have butterflies? Like, what's opening day like? I mean, for baseball players, there's so many games, and it's a marathon. But does opening day, even as you got into your later years, did it have a different feel to it?
You know what? From the very first opening day I had, would have been 2006, it was a great feeling for me because I knew that I had the job and just wanted to really take it all in. You know, my first full opening day coming into Philly, obviously having the parade coming in from the outfield, from the bleachers. You know, it's a feeling that you'll never forget. So I'm excited for, you know, all the guys, the rookies that get to experience their first opening.
Well, we are too. You still with us, Ryan?
My career kind of wore on. It never really gets old. It never gets old. I mean, you're just kicking off a new season, a new start, fresh start, try to go chase a championship and just have fun doing it.
Well, Ryan, that championship is what this team is chasing. Tell us your feeling on the team as we start the year. You know, the division is very good with the Braves and the Mets, but the Phillies, they won 95 last year. They kept most of the core of this team intact. They added a few pieces like Romano in the bullpen and Kepler in the outfield. What's your feeling on this team, Ryan, as they try to get over the hump now and win a championship?
Yeah, I mean, I think the team, you still got to be excited for the team. I think it's going to be an exciting, somewhat stressful division this year. You know, the Mets obviously came on, and they played some really, really good baseball. They had Juan Soto, added him. He's not that bad of a guy, not that bad of a player. So, you know, the division definitely gets a little more interesting. But I think with the Phillies, they just have to focus on being themselves and playing their game. And I think by doing that, they'll be good as long as they can stay healthy and just go out there and do their thing. I think they'll be all right.
You know what, Ryan? I'm kind of curious, man, because we talked a lot this upcoming season about approach and chase rate and all the other stuff. To a man, how hard is it to get up there and change your approach when that's all everybody talked about in the offseason?
You know, I think it's all about the training. I think it's all about what you do in the offseason, working on what your approach is, understanding what your strengths and weaknesses are as a hitter, as a pitcher. And then I think, like I say, we always talk about the analytics. And analytics definitely plays a factor in my mind. But, you know, you have to also be able to taper it. You got to marry it in the right way, in my opinion. So when you can use the analytics where they can help you, then that's what the benefit of it is all about in my mind. So, you know, I think with guys just being able to kind of look, change their approach, it's a very patient team. You get a lot of walks out of this team. Schwarber, Harper, get some good ABs. That's the key, right, is trying to just put together good ABs to get runs across.
Curious because one of our colleagues, Elliot Shore Parks, talked about, you know, the fact that the Phillies, let me say if I'm saying this right, they had the lowest chase rate
in
spring training.
They had the most walks.
The most walks most in spring walks. Training. Thank you very much. They had the most walks in spring training. Can that carry over in your mind to the season when you do that in spring training?
I think so. I mean, again, when you can have those types of situations where you can have guys getting on base and understanding, like, certain types of situational hitting, it can definitely carry over. So those guys showing that kind of discipline in spring training, that means they're seeing pitches, being able to try to recognize pitches, and so you can take that into the season and then be a little bit more aggressive when you need to.
Ryan Howard with us here as we get ready for Phillies opening day in D.C. this afternoon against the Nationals right here on WIP. Ryan, a lot of conversation this spring training about who's going to hit leadoff, and it sounds like the Phillies are planning to have two leadoff hitters. Against lefties, it's going to be Trey Turner. Against righties, Kyle Schwarber. So I'm wondering, from your perspective, do you think that's going to be a challenge for some of these guys to have to change their spot in the order every day? We talk about this as fans all the time. You lived it. Is that a big thing, or do we make too much of where you hit in the order?
I think the biggest thing is as long as they know, hey, if Rob has that conversation with them and says, hey, this is what we're going to look to do, then mentally those guys are already prepared. So, like, for Schwarb, if it's a lefty, he knows he's probably going to hit two or three or a little bit further down in the lineup and understand that. Same thing with Turner, batting lead off against lefties and whatnot. So I think as long as you know where you're going to be hitting, you can prepare yourself the night before and be ready to go that day.
Ryan, how do you stack up this division? You mentioned earlier the Mets, who came on at the end last year and obviously knocked the Phillies out. They added Juan Soto. The Braves had a lot of injuries last year. They'll get some of those guys back early in the season. We know they're always good. And then, of course, there's the Phillies, who won it last year. How do you, right now, entering the season, stack up those three teams as we start the season?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a fun division to watch. I mean, obviously, like you said, the Braves had a lot of injuries to key players. They're a very exciting team. You look at the Mets and what they did with some of their additions, they're going to be exciting. I'm still going to pull for the Phillies. As long as they can stay healthy, I think it's still their division to go out and go win, but they're going to have to fight to go do it. And obviously for everybody, you got to stay healthy.
Ryan, today we'll see Zach Wheeler on the mound. And, you know, when he got here 5 years ago, I think people realized he was talented, but he hadn't really put it together for the Mets. He's had an incredible stretch. Ryan, when you watch Zach, what makes him such a great pitcher? Because he's morphed from a good one with the Mets to a truly great pitcher for the Phillies here. What makes him so good?
I mean, I was unfortunate to face Zach when he was with the Mets. And that was when they had him, DeGrom, Harvey, like that whole staff that they had there. And I actually thought Zach was the filthiest out of all of them because they all threw hard. But the one thing I would say about Zach had more movement on his pitches. than the other guys did. So I think that's what kind of gave him the nod for me. And I think he's just, you know, kind of coming to his own. He got JT back there. He got comfortable with the catcher, the situation there. He's comfortable here in Philly. So he's just going out there and just letting it eat.
Ryan, let's end with this. Bryce Harper transitioned a year and a half ago to first base from all his years playing the outfield. Last year was his first full year. He was a Gold Glove, you know, caliber player. Christian Walker took it, but I thought he played at a really high level. What did you think of Harper, his first full year at first base, and what do you expect as he goes into the second half of his Phillies career playing the position you played for so many years?
Yeah, I think Bryce has done an amazing job. He's just a pure athlete. I mean, it's not easy to just make that transition and go over there and go play first base. You know, his footwork has gotten a lot better. His glove work has always been there. I mean, his confidence over there has been great. So I think, you know, him playing first potentially the remainder of his career is going to be a great move to help kind of save him and save his body from a lot of additional wear and tear.
You know, Frat, before we get up out of here, at Kobe Southern Kiss Chicken, when we go to the ballpark Monday, what sandwich do you recommend?
I mean, look, we got the original, we got the Nashville hot, and we got the big piece. So it's just all about how you feeling. You know what I mean? That Nashville, you know, give a little warm tickle. Maybe you might get a little sweat beads in the hairline.
Ryan, I'm a little older now. I can't eat that spice.
You can't handle the spice. He's not the man he used to be.
Then get the big piece, man. The big piece is not.
Yeah, I'm probably. That's what I'm probably worried about. I can't handle spice no more. I can't handle spice.
That's it.
Great stuff, Ryan. Ryan, continued success with Colby's. We'll be checking it out at the park, and let's talk soon. And enjoy opening day. It's always a special day. Thank you, Ryan.
It. Go Mob.
Appreciate it. You guys. Yes, sir. Go Mob.
There he goes. Ryan Howard, the big piece with us there, talking about this Phillies team. So Ryan still has the Phillies as the favorite in the National League East. And,
that's a little homerous.
I mean,
but you're supposed to be. Yeah, you're supposed to be.
No, they did win the division last year. They are the defending division champions.
Yeah, but the Mets.
Mets are better. Yeah. I mean, yeah, the Mets are better.
You didn't say that to his face, though.
No, I didn't.
As soon as he hung up, you called him a homer.
I waited. It was calculated.
You know,
I kept it a bead.
When I asked him about Wheeler, it didn't even like register to me that young Wheeler, because it feels like so long ago, faced Ryan Howard. They must have matched up right at the beginning of Wheeler when he first got to the majors towards the end of Ryan's career. Man, it feels like, I don't know, like I as he said it, I'm like, oh yeah, Ryan was still in the league when Zach got in the league. It just feels like so long ago. But Wheeler, obviously an incredible pitcher. He'll be on the mound today for the Phils. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop in. All right, here's what we need from you, because we have a $100 gift card.
It says
94 on here. We don't do that. We go all the way.
You always get in trouble with that.
We round up. Yeah, they're going to ask me for the make up the $6.
It's coming out of your pocket.
I know. It eventually will. But we have a $100 gift card to Sunoco to give away today. Your boldest prediction, your big, bold Phillies prediction. Best one we get today wins the prize. Hughes got 40 steals for Trey? 40. 50? Can I hear 50?
we negotiate now?
Well, I'm just asking.
Well, I can't win.
You gotta go bold.
All right, then. 60.
Now that's a bold prediction.
60.
Can we get Hugh to 90 steals by the end of the show?
And then people would be like, talking about, shut up. Don't talk no more baseball. Shut up.
No, nothing will top Bryce off. All right, 215-592-9494. Win total, how far they go. Let's go back to the phone lines here. Will in the Northeast. Hey, Will.
Will.
Dream team, how y'all doing today?
Hey, what's Will. Up, what's up, pal?
Hey, man, listen. Game day, game opener. It starts now. The journey begins, baby. It's time now to lock in. Everybody lock in mentally, man. I'm going to keep saying this because that's all it is. Y'all the best team in the league. But mentally, y'all suck because y'all always thinking about losing.
Yeah.
That losing season is over. You know what I'm saying? Now it's time to win. Let's finish with the Eagles starting.
Yeah.
The winning, baby. You know what I'm saying? The hunt is still on.
Now we're talking.
The hunt is on, baby. Red October. It's hunt season. It never stops. Listen, bring another parade back to Philly. It's on and popping, baby. Bryce, listen, all we need you to do is lead the team. That's all they look forward to. Once you start hitting, baby, the whole team is going to get hot. Willa, once you start pitching, baby, we're striking everything down. So we need both of y'all to step up to be the leaders for the defense and the offense. And that's all we need. We need everybody to play as a team.
proper. It's your time, baby. You know what to do. You strategize for every team, baby. And just like today, all we're going to do is knock these Nationals all around the field because we're going to make a statement. They're going to be the first one to feel the heat with the Phillies for the brave rest of the season. Let's go, Phillies, baby.
Let's go, Will. All right, Will, get on the record. How many wins?
We're going 101, baby.
Oh, we're up in the ante now. Now we keep up in the ante. And, Will, I need a bold prediction. Bold prediction. What do you got?
Hey, man, I think my man Nick going to light it up this season, man, because he know he on his way out. So I'm predicting Nick have 40 homers and 10 grand slams.
Whoa. That's got to be a major league record.
That means they're getting on base a lot.
Well, that does. That's true. That's got to be a record. We appreciate the phone call. I think that would be clearly a major league record. 40 home runs for Castellanos, though, that means a lot of bad things are about to happen in the world. So buckle up, people. he always hits home runs when stuff happens. Like, someone passes. 40 home runs.
Yeah, he does that.
You better get your wills written, everybody.
We're talking about Casty MVP.
10 grand slams. Yes, he's going to win an MVP, or at least be in the mix.
Constantino.
I like that one. All right, let's go to Ron and Monco. Ron's up.
Hey, guys. How you guys been?
Ron, how you been?
What's up, Ron?
What's up?
Hanging in, man. Mm-hmm. I hate going after the last dude because, you know what? This team has no shot.
Mm.
And you don't even need the music, huh?
We have a studio audience now, Ron. People are here and they're booing you. Ron, what? Why? Why no shot?
Okay, why? That's a good question. Mm-hmm. Okay, what do you got behind the plate? Where's your production behind the plate? I'm going to start behind the plate. Okay, now I'm going to move out over. We know what Harper's going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm going to move out to right field. Is he going to hit? When's he going to hit? Halfway through the season? What's he
going to
do?
Ron, I'll give you this. They got question marks at catcher, question mark at second, question mark at short, question mark at third.
Left field.
Question marks.
They got it everywhere. They have it everywhere.
Well, no, they have a first baseman we're sure about, and they have a starting rotation that should be darn good.
Well, that is the question. That's the thing. But I was going to ask you the first question I was going to ask you, actually. Are the Braves coming back on opening day full force?
No, I don't think so. No Strider, no Acuna yet.
Okay,
not yet.
Well, that changes. But listen, that changes a little bit for the NL East, but they are no way getting or winning the World Series. This team is done. The Bryce Harper era is going to end up being a failure.
We got seven more years left. What do you mean it's done?
Hey man, I didn't sign the guy. I told you guys I didn't want to. Listen, it ain't his fault. It's not his fault. I mean, they built this team wrong. They built it wrong. And they started the whole thing out wrong, and it just got worse when they brought in Dombrowski. His foundation pieces are so iffy. Castellano, Schwarber can only do one thing for the team. He clogs the bases up. None of it. How much you want to bet by 12 games, Schwarber's back in the leadoff?
Oh, I'm with you. I'm with you. I don't believe in the Turner leadoff thing.
Guys, you've seen it with your own eyes. And here's the biggest problem. Here's the biggest problem. Okay, these guys don't get cold; they choke. They choke. There's a difference between getting cold and choking. That's what it means. That's the definition of getting cold. It's called choking. And that's what they do. I played ball at a pretty high level, and I know choking when I see it. Now, the pitching is a shame.
What level?
We got some pitching. We got some pitching.
They have a lot of pitching. I mean, between Wheeler, Sanchez, and Nola, that's a hell of a top three. And maybe Lizardo could be what he was 2 years ago.
Oh. Yeah, but we got in the bullpen. But see, the thing of it is, guys, the lineup is going to kill you. That's the problem.
Ron, how many wins? Can I pencil you in for 105?
You're the best, Ron.
How many?
I'm going to say 87 wins. 87 wins.
Don't sound like 105. 87.
So we've established a new high and a new low our last two callers. Ron, ever the optimist. Ron, enjoy opening day. All right, buddy?
Later, guys.
All right, there he goes. Ron Amanka. 87. I might have to up mine from 89 to 90. Just I'm too close to
Ron.
That's
brutal.
Well, also, like,
it's
how
problem.
They,
it's
how
opening
they,
day.
How are they winning 87 if there's that many issues? I thought he was going to say, like, 80. That was
not
I mean,
cooked.
He had a dark cloud over the Phillies.
Yeah, he always does.
You know what I thought of when he was saying how it's not Bryce, it's not your fault. The Good Will Hunting scene when he hugs Matt Damon, he's like, it's not your fault, and they start crying. It's not your fault. Like that, he was basically
Good Will Hunting.
Never seen that.
Mm-mm.
It's a really famous movie.
Robin Williams and Matt Damon.
I haven't
for
seen
all
it.
Of the Tubi movies you've spent hours on, you skipped
you know what
Good
else
Will
I
Hunting.
I haven't seen either that people talk about
oh,
a
boy.
Lot.
What?
The Notebook.
I haven't seen that either.
I've seen it, but I don't think that's one you have to see. It's
or what else? I got a few.
You need to see Good Will Hunting. I mean,
I've never seen Remember the Titans.
No, I think it's good, but the story's pretty self-explanatory, right?
Yeah, I mean, I guess. You know, certain movies good, that people say, oh, you got to watch it. I didn't. I haven't seen Good Will Hunting. Is this something that I need to watch after the Phils get their first win today?
Yeah.
Well,
I mean,
no,
it's better
because
than
March
any...
Madness on.
Well, it's true. It's a great sports day.
Oh,
it
yeah.
is a great
That's
sports
right.
day.
That's right. That's what's a busy day.
It just, like, for all the bad movies you watch, you could sprinkle in.
I don't watch bad movies. Well, okay, I do.
Come on. I mean, do. You tell us.
What's the Afghanistan movie?
Afghanistan was bad. Afghanistan was bad.
You can't lie to the radio audience, the YouTube audience. You can't lie to anyone.
Oh, man, that was so bad.
You watch bad movies. Chris in Dover's up on WIP. What's up, Chris?
Chris? Put me in, coach. I'm ready to play today.
We got a lot of singing today. I like this. Yeah, we got a lot of singing. Chris, what are you feeling, buddy? You ready?
Man, it's baseball opening day, baby.
That's right. It is. All right, Chris, what do you got for us? What are you feeling?
I can't believe I got to follow Ron from Monca. I feel like he's been calling you since 10 years ago when you were on the evening show.
Oh, he has. We used to fight about Doug Peterson, and then he didn't want to sign Bryce Harper. We had to fight about that. Yeah, Ron's always he's a bundle of joy. I love him.
Yeah, it's the best. Hey, I got 93 wins.
Okay.
Listen, this division alone, first of all, the division, these three teams, the Atlanta and the Mets don't have the starting pitching, man, that we have.
I agree.
Without question.
Now, Chris, when if Strider comes back healthy, the Braves have Strider and Sale is a lot to stop a rotation, but 1 through 5, the Phillies are better. I'm with you.
There you go. And what about Strider in the playoffs? Strider!
That was the best. That being at that game when Reese hit the home run and Strider was out of gas against Stott, it was the best.
Exactly. And then go to the National League West. Listen, Dodgers, incredible, right? Money can buy and they bought everything, right? But don't forget about the Padres. And don't forget about the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Chris, I'm glad you said it. It's why the other day I was saying, I don't think it's a lock that whoever finishes third in this division is going to make the playoffs because Arizona and San Diego are good, too. I mean, only 5 of those 6 teams can go because obviously the Central's got to get a team, too. So, yeah, I actually think it makes it fun. Like, all these Mets and Phillies and Braves and Phillies games, and they're all going to mean a lot this season. It's going to be fun.
Yes, without question. Hey, I got bold, man.
What do you got?
Bold.
Let's hear it.
I got Christopher Sanchez, not Zach Wheeler. Christopher Sanchez will lead the Phillies in wins this year with a 20-6 record, and he will win the Cy Young Award.
Wow, 20 wins, a
cool.
Cy Young. That, you know what, Chris? That's pretty darn bold. Chris, we appreciate the phone call. Now, there have been a lot of people that are putting Christopher Sanchez like in that echelon, like he's going to be one of the best pitchers in baseball. Mm-hmm. I think he could. I mean, he looked incredible. And everyone we talked to in spring training was like, you got to see Sanchez.
Yeah.
He looks different. I could see that. 20-6, Cy Young contention for Chris Sanchez. I like that. Ah, yes, it is a Fransky Friday here on the Midday Show. Our second one, of course, Scott Fransky, sponsored by Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm, after Phillies 7-3 victory over
Scott.
The Nats on opening day. Scott, how are we doing today?
Doing great. How are you guys?
Well, you know, we've been a lot of angst this morning, Scott.
Well, Scott, you know, we're debating the good and the bad. I mean, I actually thought there was a lot of good yesterday, but
Scott,
yeah, Scott, 19 of those. Yeah.
If I'm being honest, Scott, I'm like, hell, you got the win. You hadn't had a win at the beginning of the season in 2 years. I'm okay with it. But
yeah, you're a bottom line guy.
Yeah, but from your preview, how much did the shadows play into them not being able to the strikeouts, I should say? How did the shadows play into the strikeouts?
Well, I think they played. I mean, it's hard to say, you know, was it 50% more? Was it, you know, 20% more? Was it? I mean, Mackenzie Gore was really good.
I said that, too. That everybody laughed at me when I said that, but okay.
I mean,
we didn't laugh.
And he pitched very well yesterday. I mean, he was in the zone. He pitched well. And he's got good stuff. So, but I do think the shadows played a part in it. I don't think there's any question. I've never stood in the box there. I can't say, but you know, you get certain looks on TV and when they show this, now I don't know what the Phillies telecast had. And we had the Nationals broadcast in our booth and they would put up shots every now and then from behind home plate. And as you're sitting there, you can't see the pitcher. And again, the backdrop is different and it's a little bit different. There's a little more sheen, a shine on the bricks, the green bricks, like where the ball would come out of a left-hander's hand, as opposed to I don't know if you've ever been there, this big Washington logo and it's kind of green turf almost up above the wall. And that one doesn't have as much of a glare on it, and there's some windows over there too. So, I don't know. It definitely played a part. But just how much? I don't know. I mean, the Phillies do strike out. It happens. They're a team that does that, and they're still going to do that. You hope the balance over the course of the season it goes, down a little bit, but it's going to happen some.
Scott, I thought it was almost poetic that the game came down to an Alec Bohm hit after the offseason that we just had, where it was pretty obvious the Phillies at least thought about moving on from him. They didn't get an offer they liked, and they kept him, and even he knew about it. I mean, Matt Gelb had a story last week that he kind of turned everything off and shut his phone off and wasn't looking at anything because he just didn't want to pay attention to it until it was all settled. Well, he's here, and he won the game yesterday with that big hit. That was a great hit to the left center field gap. What did you make of Bohm as you observed him in spring training and yesterday getting that hit? Because I feel like with him, you always wonder about the mental stuff almost more than the physical stuff.
Yeah, he, all throughout the spring, he really looked like a guy who was comfortable where he was at, comfortable with who he was. Obviously the numbers in spring training that, were really good. So he looked comfortable at the plate. Again, everybody who really knows him well and around him seems like he's in a really good place. And, whatever happened and whatever was said and whatever was talked about in the off season, doesn't seem to have fazed him at all. I think these guys have, certainly been around enough and seen enough. I know we look at Bohm as a young player. We look at, the Marsh and Stott, but they understand the game too and the business part of it, and they understand the talk that goes on out there. So I think they both he has been in a good place both mentally and physically since he got to spring training.
What do you think of Trey Turner's at bats yesterday? I know he didn't get a hit or anything like that, but just his overall approach, what did you think of that?
Yeah, I mean, it was good. He's not a guy who's gonna he'll swing. He's going to swing, but he fouled off a bunch of pitches and again, in some tough conditions against a good pitcher. Of course, the minute you move Schwarber out of the leadoff spot, he leads off a bunch of innings anyways and has hits doing it, So who knows? We're going to see a different lineup on Saturday and we'll see a different lineup again Sunday, go back to the one from yesterday. So I think it's going to be a little bit of that. Kind of back and forth and trying different things for a while.
Scott, new look bullpen. We got to see a bunch of it yesterday because the game went into extra innings. Most of the guys came out and pitched well. I mean, I thought Kirkering's stuff was really good. He had a couple of blue pits. Alvarado looked like the guy that you kept telling us about and everyone told us about in spring training. And then Strom finished it. Of course, the Romano struggle. What'd you make of the bullpen yesterday and how you think that's going to play out the next couple of days here with how Top is going to use these guys?
I think you're going to see basically that. Being six through nine, combination of Kirkering and Strom, can get used, and seven through nine, it'd be, Alvarado and Romano, and, Jordan's still working through it, I think. His command is not there, threw a lot of sliders. I don't think he was loving his fastball, especially early. I think it may take some time. And for him to get back up to speed, hopefully he gets there and gets some of that velocity back. He needs it. But he needs command as well. And I think he's still trying to find his way. Strom really kind of impressed me. I mean, hadn't pitched really in game conditions at all, certainly not in a long while. And maybe, you know, he too doesn't have quite the velocity that you would expect that I think we'll see once he gets fully ramped up. But, you know, Rob Thompson really wanted to get him in the game yesterday and didn't want him to have to sit around and wait to pitch. So I know he was happy to get that opportunity to get him back out there and give him a chance. And, you know, he's not a back-to-back guy yet. But, you know, obviously he will be, but he's not there yet. So
Scott Fransky with us here. Reacted to the opening day win. Phillies play tomorrow, 4:05 against the Nats. Sunday afternoon as well before the home opener coming up on Monday. Scott, I don't know about you. I mean, you get to call each of his starts. And I know you got to call a lot of great starts from Roy Halladay and Cliff Lee and a whole bunch of great Phillies pitchers, Cole Hamels. But I'm at the point now where it's almost like I feel like some people are numb to how great Zach Wheeler is. It's just ho-hum. Aside from maybe, I don't know, two or three starts a year, what he did yesterday is just the norm, and that's incredible. Six innings, a run. It just feels like he does this pretty much every start for the past 5 years.
He's as good a pitcher as you're going to find, starting pitchers you're going to find in Major League Baseball. I mean, he just is, and nothing phases him. You know, there were a lot of calls that went against him yesterday, you know, from the home plate umpire, and it doesn't faze him. He still, you know, worries about the next pitch and worries about how to get guys out. And he's the complete package, really, in the fact that not only does he have stuff and a lot of it, right? He's got a lot of offerings, a lot of different ways to get you out, but he pitches. He knows how to pitch, and that can be somewhat lost as an art form this day and age of baseball. It's all about stuff and, you know, throwing as hard as you can and throwing nasty breaking balls, and that's not Zach. He does throw hard, but that's not who he is. And he knows how to pitch, and he knows how to sort of weather the storm. So, I've heard Larry say the same thing, but I agree with him. I say, you know, if there's a big game and a game to be won these days in Major League Baseball, I'd take Zach Wheeler any day of the week for that kind of game.
I would, too, and he's been amazing in the postseason. Scott, tomorrow, Jesus Luzardo make his first start as a Philly. What's your expectation, and where do you think he's at? Because, you know, you look at it, it's like, which Luzardo are we going to get? 2 years ago, I thought he was one of the best 15 or 20 best pitchers of baseball. Last year, he was hurt, he struggled, didn't pitch much. And then you look at some of the numbers in spring, not great, but then people have said they've seen him, and maybe he's been working on things, and it looks good. What's your expectation for Luzardo as he starts tomorrow?
Yeah, I think my expectation is you'll see a little more of what, you know, who Jesus Luzardo really is. I mean, again, it'll be one start out of what he hopes will be 30-plus this year if he stays healthy. But, you know, the guy has really good stuff. And, you know, we did see him in spring training look real good at times. We saw him in spring training not look good at times. And, you know, I know his last start, you know, he's just working on pitches that over and over and over again, trying to get a feel for this new sweeper of his and see what that can do for him. And he wouldn't necessarily do that tomorrow. He's going to pitch tomorrow. And I think you're going to see, hopefully you see at least what you saw 2 years ago from Jesus. I think the Phillies can make him a better pitcher. I think they can make him a more complete pitcher. They've shown the ability to do that, Caleb Cotham and his people. So, and that's going to be a process. That'll take place over a number of weeks and months and see where his season goes. But I think it's a great pickup, and I'm looking forward to watching it.
We are too. We'll be listening tomorrow against the Nationals, and again on Sunday before the home opener Monday. Scott, we appreciate it. Enjoy the off day, and we'll be listening tomorrow afternoon to Phillies Nationals. Thank you, Scott.
Sounds good, fellas. Talk to you next week.
Have a good one.
There we go. Scott Fransky down in D.C., getting the off day after the game yesterday.
Yeah, that's kind of...
Well, they do that because they're afraid of rainouts, right?
Oh, yeah, because it's the time of year Baseball shouldn't be played.
I think so most of... Well, what do you mean cold. Shouldn't be played?
I'm just saying.
When do you want to start the season?
When it gets a little bit warmer. Like, what, 10 days from now?
April? It's April, not like guaranteed 10th? To be any warmer
well,
10
April,
days from
well,
now.
Yeah, April showers is a little warmer.
Hold on a second. Today is 65 degrees.
Wait, okay? It was cold. It was brick this morning, man.
67 degrees
And
today.
You know what it is? Because, like...
10 days from now, you know what the temperature is? 60. What? I mean, like,
no, I'm just saying, but it's cold, Douglas, it's cold math in the morning, man. Because I wake up in the morning and I got to turn my heat off. I got to turn the heat on.
But they don't cold, play though, the man. Game in the morning.
I'm just saying. It needs to be a little warmer. Just a little bit warmer.
It's not that cold in the morning.
It is. It was cold this morning.
What's cold?
I walked to work. This morning. It wasn't
it was like
that
30,
bad.
30 degrees this morning.
No, it wasn't. It was like 40,
45. No, it wasn't. It was 30.
Dude, I looked at the weather before I walked out of the door.
I had the breath. I was like, you could see my breath when I was walking out the door. It was cold.
I think it's taking those bones a little while to warm up, Pop.
You called me name. You called me all names. It was cold this morning. It was cold.
Did you have a coat on?
I never wear a coat.
Well, I think this is part of the problem. All right, 215-592-9494. We appreciate Scott joining us there. All right, we got a lot to get into here. How'd you feel? I mean, yesterday watching the game, did you like what you saw from the Phillies? I did. Kyle citing the 19 strikeouts, not there. Hugh says, work in progress here.
44 this morning, by the way.
40.
It was 30-something in Delaware. It was 30.
You're going to argue facts?
The temperature in Delaware can't be that different than here.
If it's cold when I come in here Monday, I'm going to take pictures. Because it was cold this morning.
We're talking about...
Because I turned the heat on.
What does Monday have to do with today?
It's going
to
be 79 degrees tomorrow. And you want to back the season up.
It's going to be 79 degrees?
79.
Okay, I'll take that.
74 on Sunday. 75 Monday.
It was cold this morning, though. It was cold this morning.
84 next Friday.
84?
Yeah.
Oh, it's going to be some people running around the city naked next Friday. There'll be some nakedness.
Well, there's our Tri-Day conversation next week. All right, 215-592-9494. Also, we have, for Tri-Day, a $100 gift card to Sunoco to give away this hour on 94 WIP, fueled by Sunoco 94 Octane. We need a sports venue we should check out. We've got some very local. We've got some worldwide. What do you got for us? Best answer wins the $100 gift. All right, Andy in Westchester's up on WIP. Hey, Andy.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
What's up?
Not too much. So, Hugh, just backing up a second. When you were in Trader Joe's, were there gummies involved?
No. Like, again, it was during the week. I just, you know what, Andy, sometimes you walk in a store and you know how you don't really have a set plan. You just go in. And you always have a plan?
I'm in a store.
See, I go in because I went in and I was like, okay, I'm hungry. I don't know what I want to eat. Let me go see what they have. And they had so many different things. At that point, I was just like, it's too much.
So you didn't get anything?
I didn't get anything. I walked out. Kind of like when I go to Cabela's. Same thing.
Oh, I got to just find out what stores you go to and watch you.
I'm telling you, a Hugh Douglas cam as he's in the store for half an hour doesn't buy anything.
You know,
would be great.
Andy, to Joe's point, like, I'll stand there, and I know people are like, what the hell is he doing? And I'm like, because I walked around, because I saw they had the spatchcock chickens, right? And I was like, what do I want to do with the spatchcock?
I don't know what that is.
Well, they you know how you
I know spatchcock,
say, like
yeah.
like say you get a whole chicken, but they cut it in half so you can flay it. You can flay it,
and they like you press it down so that it's like flat.
Yeah, you can cook it. In, like if you have a big skillet, you could cook it in the whole skillet. So I thought about doing that. I'm like, do I feel like doing that? And so it became a whole thing.
I just thought that you walk into a store of food hungry and you leave without food.
Yeah, I did.
That's unique.
I did.
Go ahead, Andy.
And you walked around Cabela's for an hour.
I'm sorry.
Not buying anything.
This is your time. I'm sorry.
Well, it's actually your fault, too.
It's good. I like it. And also, real quick, on behalf of all the truck drivers that listen to you guys, thank you for your PSA Wednesday, telling people to just, you know, pay attention.
No, like,
it drives you nuts.
Andy, I see it because I drive a truck, but it's not the size of the ones that they drive. And the fact that they're in these little box cars and they will dart in front of you and stuff. And it's like, it take a long time for that truck to stop.
Oh, I know it.
It's ridiculous.
You're talking about 80,000 pounds versus 2,000.
Man, and I'm like, boy, I'm glad that people know that those truck brakes work as well as they do. Like, that's crazy. So,
anyway, sorry, I'm getting sidetracked here.
It happens.
And we do it every day.
So, season's over, 1-161, right in stone. You know, it's they're done. I don't get all the negativity. This is, you know, I actually was listening to the game. I was a little irritated before I got home just with all the strikeouts. And as soon as I turned it on, you can see what they're talking about. But still, you know, there's a whole season left. It was one game. Yeah, I'm not thrilled with it. But, I like the approach that they seem to have at the plate. Not chasing all the time, but
Andy, there are days, and we've seen it with this team a lot, like the playoffs last year, where they swing a crap, right? They swing and miss a crap. Right. And then yesterday, I didn't feel that. I just thought they were swinging and missing, right? Gore was throwing the ball around the plate, and they just, whether they had a bad day, whether they stunk yesterday, or the shadows, they just weren't connected. I can forgive that. Like, if you're swinging at a pitch in the dirt, then I'm annoyed. If you're swinging at a pitch over the plate and you miss it, what are you going to do?
Exactly. He did look really good, and, you know, whatever. It's game one. I'm happy they won. Actually, I wasn't even that thrilled, excited about the season coming, but as soon as it started yesterday, I was like, all right, baseball's back.
There is something about opening day. Like, wherever you're at on the excitement scale, what's that first pitch is thrown, you hear the national anthem, you're all the way back in. Andy, give us a venue we should check out.
You ever go to Doubleday Field in Cooperstown? Great.
You know, I did. I went there. I went to Cooperstown once as a kid, but I don't think I actually got to the field. That's a good idea. I like that. Doubleday Field in Cooperstown.
You can just walk in any random time, and there's like a little league game going on, or some, you know, high school game. It's great. It's just great venue. Cool atmosphere.
Yeah, there's something really cool about the Hall of Fame cities. They're like their own little places on that. Nothing is like them, and then they just have the whole town just to them. Andy, good phone call there. So how about that? One of your PSAs really hit home.
Yeah, man, because I see it every day, and I kind of live it because people will cut you off, and you're at an angle that's different than everybody else, and trucks are taller than my truck. So it's crazy to see. It's crazy to see people do that.
So now I'm branded as I'm the negative guy.
Yep, that's you. I'm Mr. Positive. You're the negative guy.
I don't think it's negative to point out that, because hold on, the copium with the it's one game thing. You know what this reminds me of?
What?
When the Eagles started off the season, the defense looked like crap, and the quarterback was turning the ball over. People had the right to be concerned because it looked like the last season. Now,
absolutely.
Do the Phillies have time to turn this around? For sure. I hope that they do, and I think that there's a very good chance that they do. But do I have the right to say that's the team that I saw last season?
Yes.
It's not just one game.
No, you said it.
It's been 2 years.
I think within what you're feeling, and I think it's totally appropriate, there's like I would pick out certain people that I'm more concerned about. Like I felt better yesterday, even though Trey went 0-for-4. I thought he had good at bats. Marsh looks like a disaster. I mean, it looks like a disaster.
No, it's just one game, Joe.
No, him, it's his whole career.
But that's my point. It's been multiple years of this. This is what knocked us out of the postseason for years with the Phillies.
It's just a lot of passion in there, and it's like...
We had a game yesterday.
I do love the Phillies.
It's not over the top, but it feels over the top.
Well, no, because people don't want to hear somebody have a negative opinion about the Phillies after they won a game, what I saw.
Let me tell you, this is
I took the pledge.
I took the pledge, too.
I'm so glad we did the pledge.
You did not take the pledge.
I did take the pledge.
No.
I did.
We're going to test you.
Who said they were going to win by 7 runs?
But that's not the
this
pledge.
This guy. I did take the pledge.
You have blind faith. No, you told us Taiwan Walker is going to be good.
We're waiting. The verdict is still going to be out.
No, that verdict is in.
We got time. But I will tell you this.
It's guilty.
Yeah.
The verdict is in.
The rage of motion that I went through yesterday was
guilty.
Now you lost my train of thought. But my range of emotions were... If they would have lost, I know the conversation would not have been good.
No.
It wouldn't. Especially when you talk about the 19 strikeouts. But you went down there to do what you wanted, you aimed out to do. And that's win the first one. The first one.
But the point you just made is the best one. All of this, do we think, what percentage of callers today, if they lost, would have been like,
freaking
I liked what I saw.
Freaking out.
Come on.
It'd have been hot.
Yeah, of course.
We can be realistic, guys.
I mean, that's fans in a nutshell.
Yeah, but some things were bad. I mean, we could be real. They won the game. That's the best part. Bohm had a huge hit. Harper and Schwarber are tremendous
power
hitters.
And we can
nitpick the other stuff.
I'm not even saying the season's over. I'm just saying 19 strikeouts is a flashback to last season.
No, it was. It was a little bit of PTSD.
I'll be honest. As much as I picked out 4 or 5 things that I liked, and that really guided how I felt more than I was annoyed. When I saw that they put Mackenzie Gore in the same category as Bob Gibson,
it
was like getting slapped across the lips. Gibson is one of the greatest pitchers of all time.
Not Gibson.
Mackenzie Gore is just a guy so far in his career.
And by the way, this isn't just like... this is a lot less normal than I think some people are making it out to be with the shadows thing. The Phillies are the only team in baseball history... to strike out 19 times on opening day and win.
What does the five finger say to the face?
Slap!
Kyle's getting more upset.
I know. He's just disregarding.
I'm not disregarding. No. I hear you, man. But they won.
Yeah. Wave to more people as they walk by.
Slap! Hey, everybody.
Tired of you.
It does hit that they were the most strikeouts ever history of baseball
ever.
Opening day.
It's one thing to see it, but when you find out how many different. Because I'm like, wow, that's a lot of strikeouts.
Yeah, they set a record.
Let me put it this way. Tomorrow they face Jake Irvin, okay? If Jake Irvin if Jake Irvin walked in the door right here, I'd say, sir, who are you and why are you here? I have no idea what the guy is.
Would you slap him?
I wouldn't slap him. But If they strike out double-digit times tomorrow with the Shadows against Jake Irvin,
oh, it's gonna be
I don't
around.
Even care. They don't even play the game Sunday. I want to come. No. We're going to react to Saturday's game on Monday.
No, that's not right. That's because we got a game after that.
No. If they have a bad day against Jake Irvin, I don't care if the Shadows. That's different. At least Gore could be good, right? He has good stuff. He's their opening day starter. He's a guy with pedigree. He's a former top prospect. Jake Irvin is basically Jack Fritz. I mean, you can't strike out against that guy.
How did Jack catch a strike?
Well, because he's a guy, right? He's not a guy that should strike anybody out with merit.
Jack caught a strike.
I'm just saying, Mackenzie Gore has stuff. Jake Irvin doesn't. If this happens again on Saturday, then Kyle and everyone that feels like Kyle is very justified.
It's a good Friday, though.
Y'all it is a good Friday.
Y'all wild
well, we haven't had a game to react to. We've been holding this in since the Super Bowl. All right, 215-592-9494. Overall, I feel good about what the Phillies put out there yesterday. Turner had good at-bats, even though he didn't get a hit yesterday. Harper with the homer. Schwarber with the homer. Most of the bullpen was excellent. Wheeler, we know what he is.
You're listening to the best of the WIP Midday Show with Hugh Douglas and Joe Giglio.